Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this program is to encourage God's people daily through God's Word. The message you're about to hear is based on Scripture that will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you're tuning in today, and it's my prayer that you'll be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and your support. May God richly bless you today.
You know, a lot of Christians have lost the ability to stay unified, whether it's in our relationships at home, at work, at church, or in the community. Scripture instructs us to function as a team, to support one another, and to work together toward a common goal. That's why we are in a series entitled Striving Together. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to encourage Christians to work together as a team, to see people's lives transformed and the work of God accomplished. Today we are going to discover how we can strive together through difficulty. James chapter 1. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
On the can that I'm holding in my hand this morning are some instructions that are commonly found on a lot of different types of products that you'll see in stores anywhere and everywhere today. And the instruction on the back of this particular product, the very first under the word directions, says, shake well before using. All right? Now let's say that together. Shake well before using. Very good. And most of you are aware, if you don't shake this product, I mean, you just squirt it onto your dining room table, it's going to kind of come out with a liquidy, kind of an uneven approach, and you're going to find that it's not that nice, foamy, even texture that helps you to clean the table like you should. You've got to shake it well before it really is useful as a product. And what we're going to learn from the Bible today is that sometimes God shakes us well before He uses us well. Sometimes in our lives, the shaking times are for the purpose of being more used by God in the days ahead. Now, we don't like those times of difficulty. We don't like to be shaken. We don't like it when our lives are turned upside down. But what we're going to learn from the Bible today is that God is always working, even when our life is being shaken. Sometimes when our life is shaken, it's stressful, and we don't like stress. I'm told that every day in America, people take 50 million tablets of aspirin or Advil to try to help them with their stress. Every single day, not every week or every month, but every single day in America, 50 million pieces of aspirin or little aspirin or Advil are consumed. How many of you say, I think I took 10 million of them last week? Any of you felt like that in the last few days maybe? Just trying to help Congress through their woes, you know? And we watch certain things in life and we go through these trials, and so the stress level seems to go up. Now, we're going to see this morning that not all stress is bad. We're going to see that God can even take the stressful times of our lives and do some special tuning in our hearts. For example, this morning, we have two beautiful pianos on this platform that were both used beautifully this morning. Didn't you enjoy the worship this morning and the song that was given? And when you think about these pianos, I'm told that in these pianos, there are 240 strings tightly pulled together, and that they are creating, at this moment right now, 40,000 pounds of pressure on the frames of these wooden pianos. These pianos are just filled with stress and tension this morning. But when they are tuned by the Master's hand, they can create beautiful music in our services. And so it is in our life. If we will allow God, when the stress comes into our life, with His master hand to tune us, to touch and change us, then we can bring forth praise and glory to God. And we can take that stress and see God do something with it. That's what James was trying to teach the Christians of the first century. Now, James chapter 1 is an interesting chapter of the Bible. James was one of the first of the New Testament books that was given to us. And it was written, as you read a moment ago, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, that's not the Comanche, Apache, and Navajo, all right? That's not what we're talking about this morning. The 12 tribes speak about the Jewish believers who had been at Jerusalem. They had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the 12 tribes of Israel. But now there had come persecution at Jerusalem, and so they were scattered everywhere. If you've ever read Acts chapter 7, you'll remember the stoning of Stephen. He was the first Christian martyr. And they stoned him, his life was taken. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, so those that were persecuted were scattered everywhere. They went all over the known world. They went out to Asia Minor. They went all throughout the world of that day. And so James is writing to them, and he is encouraging them to be strong through their trials, to strive faithfully through their times of difficulty. We know that this man, James, was what we call the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would we refer to someone as the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the reason is very simple. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was not conceived of Joseph. He was not the son of man in that sense. He was the son of God. But the Bible tells us that Mary had another son, and his name was James. That is contrary to the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, the perpetual virginity of Mary, because Mary had a son. His name was James. And in Acts chapter 15, we learn that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And so early on in church history, James, under the Holy Spirit's direction, is writing to these believers, trying to encourage them in their moment of difficulty as newfound Christians. Now, as we consider difficulty, their difficulty, our difficulty, I want us to learn some lessons that I believe will help every single one of us this morning. Notice as you look in your Bible and take your notes this morning, first of all, a heavenly purpose in difficulty. The heavenly purpose in difficulty. Verse number 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now notice that word there, count. The Bible says, and God is saying, I want you to consider this moment. Step back from your stress, your Advil, your Tylenol, your talk radio, your loud family dinner, your medical difficulty, your marital problem. Just step back from that for a moment and count. That means to assess, think, consider what God is doing in this situation. Don't just keep going through the motions, but step aside for a minute and count. And we're going to see that when we consider it from God's advantage, from God's vantage point, that we can even find some joy or consolation in the fact that God is at work through this time. So he says, I want you to find my purpose. In fact, verse 3, he says, knowing this. Now, I want you to see that phrase in verse 3, knowing this. God says, I want you to have a knowledge about what's going on in your life right now. I want you to have a confidence about the fact that I'm at work in your life. That's what we read in Romans 8:28, and we know, all right? So James says, knowing this, and Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So God says, look at this trial that you're going through. I want you to count and consider what I'm doing. I want you to know that all things work together for good. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I want you to realize there is a heavenly purpose in this time of difficulty financially, in this trial with your family. I want to do something good through this time. Now, how can God do that? What is God wanting us to know about his purpose in difficulty? Well, notice letter A, the development of our faith. The first thing that God says he's doing here is that he is going to develop a stronger man of God through this time, a stronger woman of God. You see, the Lord wants to use whatever your difficulty is to bring out the best. The devil wants to bring out the worst, but the Lord wants to bring out the best. And so notice the development of our faith in verse 3 once again. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, see the phrase there, trying of your faith. The trying or the proving of your faith. God says this trial that you're going through has a purpose, and it is the development of your faith. Now, an untested faith is an unreliable faith. So it is the test that determines the results. In our church, we have several men and women that are involved in aeronautical engineering, and periodically, they will have a test on a particular aircraft. They will take that aircraft through a time of testing, and they will stress test that aircraft. And they want to know what kind of turbulence the aircraft can face and can endure. And before they're going to send that aircraft over to Afghanistan or Iraq, they want to know that they're putting that pilot in something that is proven and something that is tested. And my friends, before God is going to give you that next promotion, before God is going to give you that next material gain, before God is going to bless you in some other way, He may put you through a time of shaking and testing. I don't know about you, but when I get on an airplane like a 727 or 737, I want to know that that's been stress tested before I get on it. I don't want to be on it for the test, right? I am not guinea pig Delta passenger number 12. Okay. I want to know that somebody has tested that aircraft. And God says, before I place you into further areas of responsibility, I may put you in some shaking time because I want to try you and I want to prove you in this matter. And I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. God has never promised that He would make us comfortable. Now, that's the goal of our lives sometimes, but He has promised to make us conformable. The Bible says in Romans 8:29 that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. And we will not always be more like Jesus when everything's going our way. Sometimes it's going to take a trial or a difficulty in our life in order to make us conformable to the image of Jesus Christ. And so God says the purpose in this difficulty is the development of your faith. I want to develop your faith. Secondly, He says, I want to display your faith. I want to show this world what my people can do. I want them to know that my grace is sufficient. Look at verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now look at that phrase there, worketh patience. Paul said in Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, this morning, the choir sang a song in the first service entitled, The Faithfulness of God. And the song kind of goes like this, our God is faithful, our God is true. And it goes, the faithfulness of God. And I was watching the choir sing. We have a little monitor up here in the pulpit. And I was watching as the cameras went by these men on the back row. And I was watching as these men were singing, and I saw one man who had a terrible difficulty at work a few years ago, an unfair situation. Another man who lost his business a few years ago. Another man who had been through some extreme marital difficulty. I saw another man who'd had some terrible surgeries a few years ago. I mean, unbelievable. And they're back here in the choir singing, our God is faithful, our God is true. And you know what? It really meant something to me as I heard them singing that. Because what they were saying was, I want to display my faith and testify to the fact that my God has worked a work of patience in my life. I was visiting in one of the hospice care facilities here a few days ago, visiting with Brother Hobbs and his mother, who went home to be with the Lord a few days after that. And as we were there, Brother Ben said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, one of the things that's been amazing to me as I have watched my mother's faith is the patience that God has put into her heart during this trial. And by the way, he texted me this morning and said, several people came up to me at Mom's funeral and said, Mom led me to the Lord years ago. Wouldn't that be wonderful if God called you home, if there would still be people on this planet that you had brought to Jesus Christ? And you see, through the patience of the trial, her testimony was resounding glory and honor to the Lord. That's what Peter spoke about, that the trial of your faith being much more than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be like me. You might be like the little boy who was praying for patience. He said, oh, Lord, please give me the patience I need. And Lord, hurry up and give it to me now. That's how many of us are. When the trial comes, we want three steps. One, two, three. Here's how to get out of the trial. Whew, I learned my lesson. My marriage is perfect again. My teenager is sweet and submissive and doing chores again. My boss just smiles at me and says, welcome to work every day. You know, and so I did those three things and boom, that's where I'm at. But the Bible says in verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Notice the phrase there, worketh. It's in a continuing sense. It's something that is an ongoing process in our lives. So God says, I have a heavenly purpose in this trial. I want to make you a stronger man of God, a stronger woman of God. I have a purpose to bring maturity into your life. I'm working in your life. God has a heavenly purpose in difficulty. Notice secondly with me, if you would, this morning, a biblical process through difficulty. Now, someone says, okay, Pastor, I believe God has a purpose, but what do I do tomorrow? I mean, I'm facing some difficulty tomorrow morning. How do I handle it? Give me some biblical counsel on how to handle this situation. Well, the counsel is found in verse 4. I want you to see it. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right, let's read that verse together. Ready, begin. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One more time, a little louder this time, verse 4, ready, begin. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Now, if you circle or underline in your Bible, circle the word let. I want to focus on that word for a moment, because if you want to know the process through the trials, I want to give you the key word here, because it is letter a process of surrender. And the word let speaks of your surrendering to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, how many of you believe that God has a mighty hand? God has a mighty hand. And sometimes he will allow difficulty into our lives to humble us. Because frankly, we can get into that idea or mindset that we're doing just fine. You know, I've been in a few private aircraft that have this thing of cruise control. And I've seen when a pilot will set it on cruise control and he'll say, man, Pastor, from here on out, all we got to do is just kind of fellowship. This plane's going to go right where it needs to go. I'll take the control right back at the very end. But we are on cruise control. And when you're on cruise control, you don't think about a lot of other stuff. It's on cruise control. But when turbulence comes, you start thinking about lots of stuff. They start talking to the pilot up ahead and the next aircraft. They start checking all of the various dashboard signals. They start doing everything they were taught in their flight school. They want to handle that turbulence properly, because if not, it'll flip them right upside and down. The fact of the matter is, when we're on cruise control and the boss is friendly, the wife is friendly, everybody's friendly, everything's fine, we forget how much we need God. But when those trials come, we have to let God have his way. We have to come to a place of letting patience have her complete work. And so we have to surrender. You say, what do I do tomorrow about my trial? Let patience have her perfect work. Now that word there in verse number 3, perfect, that means complete, complete. I learned years ago, and this is some deep theology, but bear with me. I learned years ago that a washing machine has at least 3 cycles. It has the cycle of wash, it has the cycle of soak, it has the cycle of spin. And I learned as a Bible college student, the first time I ever did laundry in my entire life, that you really need to let it go through all the cycles. And I remember pulling it out during the second cycle thinking, I don't have time for this nonsense. Smells clean to me. I threw it in the dryer. I dried those clothes. When I pulled them out, they were filled with all kinds of soap and detergent and everything. Why? Because I had not let it go through the entire cycle. Now, you show me a guy that jumps out of his job in anger, jumps out of a relationship in anger, someone that just gets ticked and makes their decision, and guess what? They're probably going to have to go right back into the machine and right back through the cycles again. So the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work, so that you can be made perfect or mature. And this is the will of God, that we would surrender to Him. The process then is a process of surrender. It's a process of saying, Lord, I surrender my life, my will to you. Surrender your past this morning. You say, well, my husband in 2008 did this. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. You see, the Bible says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Surrender your past. Listen, my friend, don't ruin your future by living in your past. And you've got to give it to the Lord. Surrender your present and simply say this, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I'm not as spiritual as some, so what I have to do, I have to remind myself of this stuff all the time. And the way I do that is, I put little scriptures in frames around my office and around my house. I'll have one of my daughters sometimes calligraphy, maybe a verse for me. And one of the verses that's in my office is that verse. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because when difficulty comes, I forget to rejoice. So I have to put a sign, just like stop, go. I have to put a sign that says, rejoice. And I have to say, Lord, I want to let you have your way in my yesterdays, in my todays, and in my tomorrows. I want to let you have your perfect work in my life, you see. Surrender your future to Him. So important. And I want you to see the quote that's given to us by Philip Ryken here in this particular area. He says, every temptation is a kind of test, but not every test is a temptation. Tests and temptations have different purposes, and they come from different places. Tests are designed to show what someone can do. Their purpose is positive, which explains why God Himself tests people like He did with Abraham. A test is a trial posed by God to prove the strength of our faith.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled, Striving Together. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. Pastor Chappell has a new book now available entitled, Out of Commission. You'd be hard-pressed to meet a dedicated Christian who doesn't say the greatest work on earth is evangelization. This book is an invitation to examine why we don't witness for Christ as we should, why our local churches are neglecting evangelization and discipleship, and how we can get back to making Christ's last command our first priority. Written for every Christian who desires to obey the Great Commission of Christ, this comprehensive volume is motivational and practical. Whether you are new to evangelism or an experienced Christian, Out of Commission will challenge and equip you to share your faith and more effectively reach your community for Christ. You can find out more about this book, Out of Commission, when you visit dailyintheword.org.
Stress, fear, anxiety, perfectionism. We all carry burdens, sometimes personal, sometimes for others. From the heart of Pastor Paul Chappell comes a modern-day allegory refreshingly woven through scriptural truths. We who know the burden-bearer need to let him carry our loads. Follow the story of a lifter who laid his burdens down. Discover how to cast your cares on Jesus and serve joyfully in his yoke. Gain perspective. Discover strength. Increase your faith. Release your load. The Burden Bearer by Paul Chappell, available through Striving Together Publications.
Don't wait until next year's Spiritual Leadership Conference to receive insightful ministry leadership instruction from Dr. Paul Chappell. Subscribe to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast to automatically download an encouraging spiritual leadership lesson each month. To find out more about the free Spiritual Leadership Podcast, visit paulchappell.com and click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast.
We realize sometimes interruptions can happen when you listen to these studies, but you can hear what you missed by going to our website at dailyintheword.org. Today's full broadcast is available there.
In fact, you can even download an MP3 and listen at your own convenience. Either way, it's free of charge. We hope that you'll remember it's your support that keep these studies coming your way. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chapel. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chapel today. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There you'll find links to Pastor Chapel's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.